Galatians chapter 2, the first 10 verses. This starts with 14 years later, so I better tell you who's talking here. This is Paul, coming into chapter 2, he's starting out 14 years later than chapter 1. So 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preached among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders, for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. As for those who seemed to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in the ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do.
Thanks, Trent. So last week we introduced a series on the book of Galatians. As we turn from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we flip into the New Testament book of Acts. The book of Acts deals with what has happened now that Jesus has returned to heaven, and he's given the commission, the charge, the order, the command, however you want to give it. Jesus has instructed his apostles, first, to hold off, to delay in... Anybody remember? Where were they supposed to wait? Jerusalem! And so the apostles are supposed to wait until Jerusalem until what was supposed to happen? Pentecost! The Holy Spirit would fall down upon the apostles, and then they would be given the strength, they would be given the ability, the endowment they need to take that message of Jesus Christ, not just to Jerusalem itself, but as we saw in the book of Acts, the circles, the concentric circles of taking that gospel message, not just from Galilee and Jerusalem, but to take it out into the whole known world at that time, the whole Roman Empire. And it began there in Jerusalem, it began in Galilee, and in response to the command of Jesus, the word started to go forth. As that did, the message moving out from beyond Jerusalem, or the center, the hub of Judaism, it now starts to make its way into what was known as the Gentile territory. What's a Gentile? A non-Jew. So in this day, it is very binary. You're in one of two categories. You're a Jew or you're not Jew. You're a Jew or you're a Gentile. And so as the message moved out into that non-Jewish culture, into the lives, into the experience of people who did not grow up knowing the scriptures, they didn't know the Old Testament, it raised many, many questions. And part of those questions we see being wrestled out both in the book of Acts itself, but also in Paul's letters that he sends out to that growing church. He sends out information, he sends out his understanding, he sends out his teachings to help bring correction and bring balance into the church. And some of the questions that they were wrestling with, things like the Old Testament law, the sacrifices, specifically circumcision, are these things that were required in the Old Testament, required prior to Jesus, are those still important? Are those still required by the people that grew up outside of all this stuff? And that was part of what Paul is addressing as he writes this letter to the people in Galatia. Now, to understand what we were talking about, this is pretty much the Roman Empire of that day, and we're looking at, in this area, this place called Galatia. It was an area filled with Gentiles, filled with people that had not known the things of the Old Testament. And so we're now moving, we talked through the book, the first chapter of Galatians, and as Trent read to us, we're now moving from that, chapter 1, into chapter 2. Just to remind you of a couple things that we talked about last week, in the letter, as Paul opens it, part of what he's dealing with, he's trying to bring a balance. He's trying to bring some correction to the people, and he's using his own life as a launching point. He's using his own life as a living object lesson to help them understand what he's trying to speak. As he speaks to them, he says, I myself, if it were a religious thing, if it were simply living by the law, I would have made it. I was deep in it all. I had all the degrees going up one arm and down the other arm. My walls were filled with diplomas. He said if it was about, if walking with God, having a relationship with God was about doing all the things of Judaism, living by the law, I would have made it. He said, but God revealed to me that that wasn't it. And so he said, I was deep into the law. I was deep into Judaism. I was deep into trying to live by my own strength in relationship with God, to do the things I'm supposed to do, to not do the things I'm not supposed to do. And he found that it wasn't working. And so when the message of Christ Jesus breaks in upon that culture, he becomes not one that embraces it, but initially he actually persecuted the Christians that were following the way. And so he says, but that's what I was. Until God decided in the right moment, just as in when we talk about Jesus himself, we can go to Galatians chapter 4. And it says, in the fullness of time, God did something. He brought forth Jesus. God has a fullness of time for each and every one of us. In the fullness of time, God brings things about in your life and mine. And Paul was saying, I was one thing, but at the moment that God had chosen, when he decided it was right time, when he was pleased to bring forth the message of Jesus Christ, not just through words, not just through PowerPoint presentations, but to reveal, to expose, to show the reality of Christ Jesus, his son, he decided to do it through my very life, in me, that just without me even opening my mouth, just my story as it propagated around, people were learning of the goodness of God, the love of God. And he said, and part of his message was just in my story alone, me who I was one thing and God called me to do something else, even before I was born, still in my mother's womb, God's purpose was already defined for me. That became very real to us this past week as my daughter suffered another miscarriage, our daughter Katie. She was 10 weeks along, and this was her second. We've now had five in our family, just between my daughters. Question comes up, what about these children that don't make it? The reality is, Scripture teaches us that from the time you're conceived, even in your mother's womb, that God has a purpose for you. Whether your day is one day in the womb, whether your day is 100 days, whether your day is 100 years, no matter how big or how small, how fat, how skinny, no matter if you have all your facilities as we would name them or not, God's purposes for you are clear, and he knows what they are. And Paul, recognizing that for himself, that said that even before I was born, even when I was steeped in sin, in rebellion, in tradition, God still was working in and through me. And at the moment that God determined, his truth came to me. And in another letter he said, in 1 Corinthians, he said, it was by God's grace that though I was one thing, I am now something new. And he made the declaration, which I love to declare for myself, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And we pointed out the story revealed in the book of Acts as to how that message of God's grace came to his life. And then wrapping up 1 Galatians, we pointed out that Paul rejoiced that in his very life, not just in the words he spoke, but his life at large, the goodness of God was being revealed so that the story of him, he who once persecuted the church, that story being told to those that around the world, that they would glorify God simply because of his life story. Same with you and me. Your life story can be an encouragement to many people. What you used to be and now what God is making you can be an encouragement to so many. And so that's where we kind of left off our story. I want to step back into a couple things that I skipped over the first time we went through the book of the first chapter of Galatians and point out a couple things because these are foundational as we move into chapter 2. A couple things that we skipped over, but I want to point out is that Paul made this statement in Galatians chapter 1. He said, when God's message of truth, when the message of reality first came upon me, he said, I didn't go off and go down to Jerusalem and sit with all the apostles immediately. He said, I actually slipped away. And for 3 years away in Arabia, all alone, he really sat. Many people believe that just as the apostles themselves spent 3+ years with Jesus, being taught that this new apostle, in a similar way, spent 3 years, he says in Galatians 1, he says, for 3 years, I didn't go and talk to anyone else. I just studied, I just learned, I waited upon God, and God filled me and taught me. And the message that he brought to the church of Galatia, he reminded them, it wasn't something that men synthesized. It wasn't a message that men thought up. It was a message God himself imparted directly to him. So Paul reminded the people of Galatians that as he was about to give them instruction and correction, that he wasn't coming as one that had been anointed by men. He was coming, and the truth he was speaking was a message that he had been anointed of God to carry to them. And so there was a weightiness to this that they needed to understand. And Paul was making it clear that the message he had was directly from God. He said it was later, or he said, when I finally did go down, after 3 years, I went down to Jerusalem. He said, I didn't go down there at that time really to go to school. He said, I really went down just to meet, to become acquainted with the people that were known as the pillars of the church, specifically Peter, or Cephas, his name was. He said, and while I was there, I met a few of the others, but really, it wasn't there for them to correct me or to teach me. It was just so that I would know them, that they would know me, that together we would just rejoice in the things of God. And then as Trent opened up for us in the scriptures today, it was more than 14 years later that Paul had been out there ministering the truth of Christ. God interrupted his life on the road to Damascus. He was heading out to persecute the church. For 3 years, and him along with in the presence of God, he's learning directly from God himself the truths of who Jesus is and how the message of Christ ties together with all the Old Testament truths. He said, and then for 14 years, he's going out. He's speaking. He's teaching. He's bringing non-believers into a relationship with Christ. And he said, but then there came kind of a little bit of a crisis moment in the ministry. He said, because there started to rise up more and more persecution, and it seemed as though people that should have known better, specifically those with a Jewish background, them hearing the truths that I was teaching, they're starting to push away from it. They're starting to say, no, Paul's message is wrong. And so Paul, who had been speaking of the freedom of Christ, the freedom of relationship with Christ, just gets a little check in his spirit, and by a revelation of God, God says, you know what, Paul, so that it's settled in your spirit, go down to Jerusalem, meet with the people there, meet with the church at Jerusalem. And Paul says now, having been ministering for more than 14, 15 years, he felt as though there was, by a revelation of God, he needed to go down back to Jerusalem to double check, to just check in, to just bring really, rather than to have kind of two different churches, those in Jerusalem, they're teaching one thing, and him starting kind of a second church with a different truth, a different message. God used this moment in time to bring kind of the two sides together to oneness so that there would be a unity in the truth, a unity in the message. And so Paul, or God speaks to Paul. He says, go down to Jerusalem. Go and meet with those brothers and those sisters down there. And he says, and I did. I went down there. And I met specifically with those that were the leaders of the church, at least in the mind of men. So he said, I went down there and I presented myself to those that were kind of the pillars. He said, not that I was trying to impress them or that they in some way impressed me or that I was trying to name drop. He just said he went to the people that were identified as the leaders in the church because that's where the unity had to come together. And so for you to fully understand what we're seeing in the book of Galatians, there's two areas of scripture. I mean, you could read the whole thing, but just to point out a couple. There's two specific areas in the book of Acts that are kind of like puzzle pieces. You need to have these in your back pocket, and you need to have these in your thinking so you can fully understand what Paul is trying to convey to the church in Galatia. Specifically, Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 15. For you to understand what these are, maybe they sound familiar to you, but just in case they don't, Acts chapter 10 is the story of God speaking to Peter. Peter, having been one of Jesus' apostles, coming from the Jewish background, God one day gives Peter a divine revelation. He gives him a dream, and Peter sees all these, what in the Jewish mind were unclean animals that they're supposed to avoid, that they're supposed to stay away from. God gives him a vision, drops down this vision of all these unclean animals, and God, in the vision, tells Peter, hey, I want you to eat these things. And Peter's like, no way! I've been a good boy all my life. I've been a good Jewish boy. I've never touched anything unclean. And God speaks to him. He says, when I tell you it is clean, you better believe it's clean. But God, a couple times through this vision, starts to bring a correction to Peter's thinking. Peter, who saw the Gentiles, those outside of the Old Testament covenant, he saw them as unclean. He saw them as unworthy. He saw them as a second-class group of people. And through a tremendous dream, God starts to bring a correction to Peter. He starts to speak specifically into Peter. He starts to adjust Peter's thinking. And so just like everything else that God does, in the right time, in the right moment, God brings together the pieces. God starts to put into Peter's thinking. And since Peter's one of those pillars of the church, really in the Jerusalem church's thinking, that the Gentile world should no longer be considered unclean or untouchables or separate. It begins back in the book of Acts chapter 10. In parallel to Peter getting this vision, and completely separate, Cornelius, anybody know, remember who Cornelius is? He's a Roman centurion. And this man has a heart for God. He wasn't raised in Judaism. He didn't know all about all the Old Testament laws, but somehow, perhaps because of his closeness to the message of Jesus, perhaps because of living in the area of Jerusalem, we're not quite sure why, but we know that somehow he came into an understanding of the things of God, and his heart was open. And so one day he's crying out before God, and God sends an angel. He says, hey, Cornelius, I want you to send for Peter. I want you to call for Peter, and he's going to explain to you the way of salvation. Two completely separate lives, two completely separate occurrences, and God uses them to merge together the message of Christ. Peter's saying, a voice came to me as in the midst of this. What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. Let's see if this works. And as he's speaking, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon these Gentiles. And it becomes a moment of redefinition of the church. Because what we saw in that encounter is we see people outside of the reach of God, at least in the mind of men, suddenly the Spirit of God falling down upon them and doing a tremendous work. And in Peter's mind, that becomes a moment of transition. First, God had told him, but he also sees it in his own experience that no longer could that which was considered unholy outside the reach of God be considered as something separate. Paul then continues, and he said then, after 14 years, he goes with Barnabas back to Jerusalem. Just trying to put this back together. God had been working, even before we get to this point, 14 years into Paul's ministry, God is doing stuff back in the church in Jerusalem. A foundation had been laid in Paul's mind, a foundation laid in Peter's mind that God is about to merge together. Just to bring one more point together so that you have these pieces. You need these so it all synthesizes together. One more place. Acts chapter 15. When Paul says, finally, after 14 years, I go back up to Jerusalem, what he speaks to is a story that is expanded for us in Acts chapter 15. We call it, we put this little title on top of it called the Council of Jerusalem. What happens is Paul, with his message to the Gentiles and the church at Jerusalem, which had been focused primarily on Jews, they finally get together. And in their midst, God brings a unity to their thinking. After, it says in Acts chapter 15, after much debate, after Paul has presented what he's been speaking about, after all the people arguing back and forth as to the role of circumcision in the law, in the church, and in the Gentile experience, it says in Acts chapter 15, verse 9, that after much debate, Peter stands up and he reconveys his experience of how he who had been thinking just like they, that the Gentiles are separate unless they embrace the things of the law. Peter says, no, I was there. I saw God pour out his spirit upon people that were not circumcised. And he said, we've got to adjust our thinking to embrace these uncircumcised. It's not that they have to readjust their thinking to become like us. We've got to change. He said it was by faith that they came in. In Acts chapter 15, Peter then continues. He says, guys, we need to get with the program. He says, if we try to force them into doing something that God did not require, then we're putting on them a burden that our ancestors proved wasn't even possible to carry out. Let me give you just one more quick video. The point in all of this is the foundation that I'm trying to lay in you for our understanding as we work our way through the book of Galatians, is that God has been working throughout time to bring people who are outside of his reach into a connection with him simply by a love, by a heart response. It says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 3, that Paul was conveying to the people in Galatians, he said, when I finally did go down, when we got together and the two sides became one in our thinking, those who had been focused on circumcision and the Old Testament law, and we who had been proclaiming freedom in Christ Jesus separate from the law, when we merged together, when we came together after much debate and we came to a unity by the anointing of God, there it was sensed, the work of God, the presence of God, and there we declared, it was declared, nope, circumcision and the rites, the Old Testament rites, no longer apply. He said, and even to prove it out, Titus, who had gone with me, Titus, a Gentile man, a man who served God, there in their midst, they didn't even require him to be circumcised. And so Paul was using that foundation to help bring back the church of Galatia back to an appropriate balance, a focus on the things of God that are separate from outside rituals and outside responses. He said this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 5, and we, when we went down there, we didn't submit to them. We didn't take our authority and say that we're second class or that we have to submit to you. He said, no, we went there equals among equals. So that as we talked it through and as we came to an agreement, that the truth of God that he was trying to bring out for his church at large would not be lost. Instead, that it would be declared with authority. He said that the truth of the gospel might ever remain in your midst. The truth of a relationship with God that comes through a heart response was what he was trying to bring. And he said at the end of it all, Peter and John and gave Paul and Barnabas and the church leaders there, they all came to an agreement, hugging each other, loving up in each other, giving each other the right hand of fellowship, that they saw in each other the partnership, the balance of God's ministry to the world at large. Galatians 2:10 said this, and this is where we're going to end up today. All they asked was that we remember the poor. Wow, that doesn't sound like it's a heavy burden. That means, basically, don't forget those that are back here. The Gentiles tended to be, those people out in the Roman Empire, they tended to be pretty wealthy compared to those poor little old widows and stuff out in Jerusalem. And he said, don't forget us. And Paul's like, duh, that was easy. Here's the point that I wanted to kind of wrap us up to today. If you remember, Jesus said in John 13:35, he said, this is how the world will know that you're my disciples. Not because you go to church on Sunday. Not because you give all your money into the collection when it passes around, although that's good. It's not because you are circumcised or not circumcised. It's not because you wear a tie or whether jeans or shorts. It's not because you have long hair or short hair or pull your hair back in a bun. It's not because of anything on the outside. He said, this is how the world will know that you're my disciples, is that you show love towards each other. Well, geez, so that sounds just, Jesus said that. So when the apostles in Jerusalem asked them, just remember our widow, remember us. Paul's like, duh, how could we not? You're part of us. God, Jesus taught us to love each other, to love you. And Romans 13:8 says this, let there be no debt in your midst except the debt that you show each other love. And so what we're going to see in this, we walk through the rest of the book of Galatians, is that the focus here is not on outward responses to God. It's that our heart is set in loving Him, loving others with the overflow of that love.